Hello neighbors, welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland and today Iceland farm and food show. I'm Ivan Imke, your host. You don't have to be long in Iceland before you realize that the good folks here love their dairy products. There are shelves and shelves of cheese, yogurt-like and kefir-like products, ice creams, whey byproducts, and of course, the famous Icelandic skyr. Their population is about 330,000, just over 60% of the population of Newfoundland and Labrador, and they have about 80 different cheese producers alone. You get my point. One of the things that's striking about the dairy industry in Iceland is the diversity, not just in products, but in terms of their willingness to engage in the agritourism industry. Today, we visit two dairy farms, but there are also places you can stay and places where you can eat ice cream and traditional Icelandic foods in a cafe that's separated only by glass from the cow stable where milking is taking place.
A lot of our guests, they have never seen cows alive. My cows, they are spoiled. I mean, they are like princes.
We have a lot of waves of vegetarians, of vegans, and people that don't understand farming, and they don't understand the respect that you're showing the animals on the end when you use their product, if it's meat or if it's milk.
I actually really love to work with animals.
Yeah.
It is relaxing. It's much more difficult to deal with difficult customers.
The quality of the milk. Water is coming straight from the glacier. It's so much oxygen in it, and it's so cold, and it's so pure. Cow is drinking 300 liters of water per day.
Our first visit today is in North Iceland on the shores of Lake Mývatn. Close to the lake, set in fields of lava with a grand view of a crater, you'll find the Vogelfjoss cafe and guesthouse. Come inside with me. It opens to a lovely gift shop and restaurant. On one side, there are the views of that impressive crater. On the other side, we're looking into a cow stable and a milking parlor. The sound of dishes mixes with the sounds of the stable. We'll chat with one of the owners.
We are in Vogafjoss Family Resorts, or the Vogafjoss Restaurant, and my name is Ólöf Hallgrímsdóttir, and I prefer to call myself a farmer.
How long have you been a farmer?
Well, I was brought up here. This is my family farm. We are the fourth or fifth generation living here. My father, he passed away when I was 22. I was studying at university in Reykjavik, but I decided to come home and keep on with his life job. And then we started to build up.
So it's been a dairy farm for all of those generations?
Or? Yes, yeah. A dairy farm mixed with cows and sheep.
Yeah. So I would guess that it looks quite a bit different than if your great-grandfather were to come back and see this.
Completely, yeah. Even my father.
Even your
father. Yeah. Because we used to have only a dairy farm when my father was here. Then we had more sheep, less cows. But my farm is actually a small family farm. And that is what I prefer. I'm not very fond of factory farms.
Right. How many cows do you milk?
We have 16 milking cows.
Yeah.
16.
Yeah. Which is a family farm, even by Icelandic standards.
It is very small.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's very small.
So how did the decision come about to open a restaurant, cafe, and so on?
Well, because my property, my land, farmland, is rather small. At first, we decided after my father passed away that we wanted to live here. We wanted to make something here ourselves, because my area, Mývatn area, has been very well known and popular by tourists for many years. So we thought, is it possible for us to mix together the tourism and the farm? So we decided to build a new stable for the cows and have a little restaurant inside where you could try the fresh milk, and we were thinking about baking something. And we were going to have a little fee to see when we were milking the cows. This idea was not very popular. So then we thought, well, we need to find something else. And we found that there was a lack of restaurants here in the area. And then we started to have this more like a restaurant. And then we decided to offer the local food, which we are very well known of, like the bread we bake in the ground, the smoked trout, the smoked lamb, no French fries, and no pizzas. It seems that everyone was happy with this decision except my children. They thought this was a lousy idea, opening a restaurant and no French fries. But it was like that. It was very hard the first years because we didn't have much money to marketing. But after like three, four years, then it became more and more popular. People heard about us. Mm-hmm. This is a lot of work, but we don't feel like we are always working. We just mm-hmm. like this. We are building something up. Mm-hmm. We used to work, me and my husband, we have four kids, mm-hmm. and my brother and his wife. We are two families running this, and we used to, all of us used to work outside the farm. But now we have like 40 people working. Yeah. So I think it is also nice for my community to support. Because mm-hmm. we are a small community of mm-hmm. less than 500 people, mm-hmm. and every single one is important. We also wanted to offer people to come into just a normal farm. Yeah. I mean, this is not a show. The cows are just on mm-hmm. the other side of the windows.
Yep. Yep.
And we are milking them yep. as if there were no tourists
right.
and no audience. Yep.
What's the response been like when people are sitting here, and if we were here at the right time, they'd be milking right over
yeah.
here?
Most of them are positive. Most of them. But of course, we also get like negative people cannot sit here and watch the cows
right.
and eat. So then they can move to the corner
the
over there and look at the crater and the nature.
We have a number of dairy farmers who are thinking about agritourism or whatever we mm-hmm. want to call it. Should they go ahead
yeah,
and do it?
Yeah, I think I would do this again. I feel somehow that I'm a little bit the face of Icelandic farmers. Mm-hmm. That's the reason we clean everything, the stable,
yep.
with high pressure pump yeah. twice a day. Everything is supposed to be rather clean. And my cows, they are spoiled. I mean, they are like princes. If you are trying to promote the Icelandic farm life, mm-hmm. then you have to try to do it well.
Is there a song that I could, I'd like to play a song during the interview, but it's from the person that I've been talking to.
This was a difficult question.
You can
send me email. Okay. I will think about it.
Okay.
I was not prepared.
We did get in touch on email. And Olaf suggested this song about her country, done by Egil Olsen and Gudrun Gunnarsdóttir. Og sólin blíðust vermir allan bæinn. Mannabörnin litlu leika sér. Lengir daginn vorið það hér. Sætt yfir döggvott gras að ganga. Trartí brá út við nes og tanga Jökul tind við himinn kvalið ber Á hafsins bárum flegin bakka sér
Fagra Ísland, Ísland er land.
That's This Beautiful Country by Icelandic musicians Gudrun Gunnarsdóttir and Egil Ólafsson. Today I'm sitting in the cafe and stable of Vogafjós in North Iceland with one of the owners, Olaf Hallgrímsdóttir. I start the section by asking about the reaction of guests, especially when they get a chance to try a shot of fresh, warm milk.
I also understand a lot of our guests, they have never seen cows alive. They have never tried the warm, fresh milk. Mm-hmm. When we are milking, people can visit and they can have a milk shot, which we tell them is the most healthy shot they can ever get.
Here in Iceland, are people becoming more aware of local food and wanting to choose local food rather than imported?
A lot.
Yeah. Is that helping farmers?
Yes, I think so. Because now many farmers, they take, for example, their lambs to the slaughterhouse and then they take it back home and then they are selling directly to customers. And then they get more money for it. So I think for sure it is helping them.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're in the education business as well as the food service business and tourist business?
Yes, in a way. Mm-hmm. I feel like people are asking so many questions about the cows, how much they milk per day. Of course, they don't know that cows are milked twice a day, and also Christmas. So this is a part of telling people how farm life is, in a way.
And people do stay here as well. You've got some guests.
We also have a guest house,
One of the things that's very different here from in Newfoundland and Labrador is extent of diversification of the farm. You have a variety of enterprises here, and there seems to be a lot of farm vacation possibilities as well throughout the whole country. Is that something that happened in the last couple of decades as tourists came, or has it always been part of the agriculture?
No, it hasn't.
It hasn't?
No, it hasn't been. Maybe it started with the Icelandic Farm Holidays.
Okay,
the travel agency. Okay. Then they started with all around Iceland. Farmers could join this and they started to sell rooms. Now, of course, it's also Airbnb I mean, it's not profitable to be a farmer, especially a sheep farmer.
Yeah.
It's horrible. I use every single meat I produce in my restaurant. And I also buy from other farmers here.
So the Iceland Farm Vacations was a private company that started to just make the link between tourists and farms?
Owned by the farms.
Owned by the farmers,
Owned by the farms.
Yeah.
And the guest houses they built, many of them, they used old farmhouses. They changed them.
Yeah.
They had some summer houses, maybe two or three summer houses on the farm. And this was their way of having a little bit more money to raise the income.
Yeah. Where did you learn all of your skills with dairy cattle? Just from growing up on a dairy farm?
Yeah, I think so. When I was a girl, we used to be with my father, with the sheep and with the cows. I actually really loved to work with animals.
Yeah.
It is relaxing. It's much more difficult to deal with difficult customers.
Humans have developed that to a high art. Difficult.
Yeah.
Cows just want to be comfortable. Yeah. What's your favorite Icelandic food?
Actually, I love lamb meat. Yeah. And of course, Icelandic vegetable with the meat.
Yeah.
And then I'm good. Well, cream.
Cream. I'm sure there's some dairy product in here.
Yeah. dairy products, clean, unpolluted, with no extra stuff in it.
Thanks very much.
Yes, you're welcome. No problem.
All the best.
Yeah.
Eins ég veit þú þorir, vilt og getur, fagnað þó að fenni sérkvært spór, því fyrr en varir kemur blessað vor. Þetta fagra land hefur fóstrað þig og mig, fara Ísland, Ísland er
In English, that song is all about this beautiful country, referring to Iceland. It was the request of Olaf Hallgrímsdóttir. From Vogafjós, we head west and south, back toward the more populated section of Iceland. About two-thirds of the population lives close to the capital city, kind of like our own province. Before we get to Reykjavik, we take a left and follow what's called the Golden Circle, an intensely popular loop that includes some of the most highly photographed tourist sites of the country. As we drive the circle, dodging the buses and tourists standing on the road taking pictures of horses, we come to Efstidalur. It's a dairy farm with a couple of guest houses and a fine restaurant and dairy barn. Once again, the stable is separated from the eating tables by only a glass window, providing patrons with a fine view of the creatures that were the source of their ice cream cones and bowls of skyr. I was able to track down one of the owners, Solvi Arnarsson, as he had breakfast in the restaurant. I'd eaten my breakfast earlier, watching him clean the stables through the glass. I let him eat for a bit, and then asked about how many dairy farms there are in Iceland.
10 years ago, we had over 1,000 dairy farmers. Now we have a little bit over 500, 580 or something. So we're getting fewer, farmers are getting fewer, and I think that's just worldwide. People are scared. We have a lot of waves of vegetarians or vegans and people that they don't understand farming, and they don't understand the respect that you're showing the animals on the end when you use their product, if it's meat or if it's milk.
Do you think that people in Iceland, do they value local food?
Yes, they do.
Would they pay more for it if it's local?
They pay more for it. In my opinion, they pay too much for it. Food is really expensive in Iceland. Iceland is always going to be expensive when you think you're a nation, when you're a tribe. And it's always going to be expensive when you think you can have your own currency when you're 300,000. Economy with 300,000 people, it's never going to work. It's only going to work for the rich people. It's never going to work for the whole tribe.
Is there pressure for more food from outside to come in?
Yeah, of course. Of course, you can buy cheese 60% more cheaper. You can buy milk, you can buy yogurt, you can buy meat. You can even buy better meat. But if you look at the meat, like in antibiotics medicines going in, they made this paper scale with which countries were using the most of these medicine for the cows. Iceland, it's 2%.
Yeah.
While you have, like, I think it was Germany that had 70%.
Yeah.
And their meat is so tender and delicious and good. But is it going to be good for you in the end?
Mm-hmm.
You have the Icelandic beef that we're breeding from these animals. Only thing that is going to melt in your mouth, it's the tenderloin.
Mm-hmm.
The ribeye, it's really tasty and good, but you have to have good teeth to go through it.
You mentioned fewer antibiotics. Are there other advantages to agriculture in Iceland?
Almost every farms in Iceland are organic.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We do not use any chemicals on making the grass. We cannot call it organic because we use fertilizer on the fields for the grass to grow. But the fertilizer that we put on the field, that's mostly made from the soil. It's fertilizer. And so it's as pure as it gets. The water is coming straight from the glacier. Have you tasted the water here?
Oh, yes.
I was in Spain 10 days ago. And when I came home, I went under the tap and I was like... It's so much oxygen in it, and it's so, like, it's not this bottled water you have, and it's so cold, and it's so pure. And for growing the vegetables, cow is drinking 300 liters of water per day. So the air that she's breathing, it's coming down on the quality of the milk. If I would close all the windows and the doors and they would stay in high humidity air and bad air, they would not give me good quality in the milk. So all of these come together, but it's the most expensive food I think you can find in the world. I would say so. I was hoping for having October not snowy and cold.
Yes. Yeah.
So I could have my animals outside. I need to bale all the hay. I have over 1,500 bales. Each bale is costing me 6,000 kronas. In New Zealand or in Canada, you can maybe keep it outside. All of these things, they just cost money.
There's a real focus on using what grows well here. Sheep are largely grazed on grass and so on and so forth.
90% grass fat.
So there's some advantage in not trying to push a crop that doesn't really grow here. Do you grow any like canola, anything like that?
We're always trying, but the weather is like a box of chocolate. You never know. It's gonna be sunny after lunch now. It was snowing this morning.
Yeah.
Last 10 years, they've been quite good in the weather.
Yeah.
But then you have the year like this. You don't have the leaves on the tree in the middle of June.
Yeah.
And you have the autumn in the middle of August. So you have 2 months of summer. Nothing grows on 2 months.
Yeah. The amount of ice cream you sell, does that cover all the malt that you melt?
No. I would say we are producing 270,000 liters of milk per year. That's done by 35 to 40 cows. I think we're using about 70,000 liters.
Do you have a song that I can put underneath this somewhere?
Let me see. I think I would say Of Monsters and Men. Their guitar player is a good friend of mine. He enjoys my steaks. He comes here once a month.
I'm calling in the distance, so I packed my things and ran far away from all the troubles. I accosted with my two hands. Alone we traveled on with nothing but a shadow. We fled far away.
The Icelandic band of Monsters and Men with their song Mountain Sound, as requested by my guest, Sulvi Arnarsson. Actually, I'm his guest, sitting in his restaurant, connected to his barn, on his dairy farm, staying in his guest house on the Golden Circle route in Iceland.
Did you always grow up thinking you'd be a farmer?
I started to be a pilot.
A pilot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just crashed here.
You still think about being a pilot, getting a small plane, flying around the hills?
I'm a farmer's son, and I think to be a pilot was just, I wanted to explore, but to be locked in a cockpit for maybe 10 hours, just staring on the compass, I think it would never have been for me. Yeah, I was never going to be a farmer. I came here 2008. I was painting the bathroom for my mother. They were so busy. They were just two. They had the dairy farm. They had the guest house, and they were just drowning in work. I was painting the bathroom, and my mother, she was expecting 25-person group from Sweden. They were coming to eat the beef and taste the skyr, and and she was going to have a little bit of presentation and stuff. And she was waiting for the group, the food was cooking, so she went outside and she was cutting her trees. And she almost cut off her little finger. So my father had to take her to the hospital. And she said, Sölvi, you will just have to figure it out. You're going to have 25 people coming. You're from here, you know what I've been doing. You're raised on this, so go on. And here I am, 10 years ago. And the group was happy, nobody died. This is a job that it's always bringing something new to the table. Like 20 minutes ago, I didn't know I was gonna speak to you. So I was just worried about one cow that is sick. So the farming is always giving you something to have it mixed with the tourism. That's something that gives a little bit extra. You're always meeting new people. And
do you get 2 million people driving by?
Of course, yeah. You cannot have this concept maybe on the Westfjords, not at the moment, because the airlines, Icelandair and WOW Air, they're both having Iceland as a hub. So for the European travelers, so they can come here, they can stay here for 3-4 days free of charge. Free, but for changing the airplane and then take it up to Europe. And these people, they just drive from Reykjavik and the Golden Circle and maybe the South Beach.
What's your favorite Icelandic meal?
I eat everything. I really like to work with food, so it's really difficult for me to pick something. I just like homemade food. The taste of untouched homemade food. Not some factory-made pudding or some steaks that have been mixed together or something.
I suspect there'd be something sour in it.
My parents, they are really up for the sour food, but I eat it, but
in parts of North America, sour beer is really popular these days. Is that at all a process here that they work on?
Yeah. We really, really like to drink beer or wine. It's just something in our DNA.
It was illegal until 1990.
I know. That's why they were homemaking. I asked my grandfather, why do we have the smallest cow, the smallest dog, the smallest horse? Why is everything so small? He said, you know, when the Vikings were sailing from Norway to Iceland, do you really think they would pick the biggest animals for the boat? No, they wanted to have good space for the alcohol.
And it worked. Yeah. So, Lee, thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you. It's always nice to go through the history.
That's the unmistakable sound of the Icelandic band of Monsters and Men with their song Mountain Sound. They're a band that knows the value of a good steak. Two dairy farms, two cafes / milking parlors, two vacation homes, two models of farm diversification from Iceland. There are lessons here for us about creativity and diversity, not solely to improve the bottom line of our farms, but also for the educational value of such operations. And your obvious question, do these meet health regulations? Yes, of course they do. They're perfectly safe. For some, the hardest part of innovation is learning how to get out of the way. Regulation is not meant to stop innovation, but to facilitate it. I know, that's hopelessly optimistic.
This is a job that it's always bringing something new to the table. Farming is always giving you something to have it mixed with the tourism. That's something that gives a little bit extra.
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland, Labrador, and sometimes Iceland farm and food show. To listen to other episodes or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. The songs for today's show were by Of Monsters and Men and Gudrun Gunnarsdóttir and Egil Olofsson, as requested by my guests Olof Hallgrimsdóttir and Solvi Arnarsson. I'm relieved that sentence is over. The theme music, Cluckoldhan, was done this week by The Shots. This is a production of Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
This is a lot of work, but we don't feel like we are always working.